السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين الذي خلق الأفلاك والأرضين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله الطيبين وأصحابه أجمعين وعلى من تابعهم إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الأمين الكريم. الله سبحانه وتعالى sent the prophets and the messengers into this world so that they tell us what is haram and what is halal. And when a person says amantu billah, when he says la ilaha illallah muhammadur rasulullah, he accepts that ya Allah, I believe that you are the only one worthy of worship, and therefore whatever you say is haram, I will stay away from it. And whatever you say is halal, then I will take that. And that is what it means to become a Muslim. A person to be a mu'min, to be a complete believer of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is an obligation that he stays away from that which is haram and he only takes from that which Allah has made halal. Before I speak further regarding this matter and the other things that I have been requested to talk about today, may we all send durood, salat and salam upon the greatest of all mankind, the most beautiful creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Sayyiduna Muhammad Mustafa al-Mujtaba sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May we all pray durood sharif. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina wa Mawlana Muhammadin ma'adin al-judi wal-karam wa manba' al-ilmi wal-hilmi wal-hikam wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he says, طَلَبُ الْكَسْبِ الْحَلَالِ بَعْدَ الْفَرِيضَةِ فَرِيضَةٌ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ, which means to attain, to gain, to try and take that which is halal for every Muslim is compulsory. It is fard upon every Muslim to earn that which is halal. And when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said, talabul ilmi faridatun ala kulli muslimin wa muslimah, to gain the knowledge of the deen is compulsory upon every Muslim, male and female. One group of ulama-i kiram, they say that this hadith means the knowledge of halal and haram, which means it is compulsory upon every Muslim, male and female, to gain the knowledge of Islam, in which where Islam says what is halal and what is haram. And it is common sense, because without that knowledge, how can a person act upon Islam? How can a person act upon Islam if he does not know what is halal and what is haram? And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it an obligation, fard upon every Muslim, male and female, to earn that which is halal and stay away from that which is haram. Subhanallah. And in a hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam was asked by one of his sahaba ikram, Sayyiduna Sa'd radiallahu ta'ala, that Ya Rasulullah, pray to Allah that I become mustajabud da'wah. When I make a dua to Allah, it is always accepted. Mustajabud da'wah. Ya Rasulullah, pray to Allah that I become mustajabud da'wah. And Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam says that consume only that which is halal. Consume only that which is halal, and Allah will make you mustajabud da'wah. Subhanallah. Which means that Allah accepts the dua of that person who eats halal. So if you eat halal, and if your rizq that you have earned in the market or wherever you work all day or night, if that is halal, and your children are eating halal, and your family is eating halal, then ask Allah for whatever you want. Allah will grant it to you, inshallah. Subhanallah. And what happens when a person eats haram? What happens when a person eats haram? The Sufiya ikram, the ulama ikram, the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they say that when a person eats that which is haram, that is what becomes blood. It becomes dam, blood inside the body. And the heart pumps that blood all throughout the body, through the veins. That blood is made up of haram. And when a person eats haram, consumes haram, then that blood that flows all throughout the body takes that haram into the whole body. And then that blood becomes meat as well. And then your jasad, your jism, the body becomes haram, full of haram. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam says, La yadkhulul jannah الجسد الذي غذي بالحرام أو كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, that body which has become due to haram, which has developed or progressed due to haram, will never enter Jannah. Allahu Akbar. So O Muslims, if you wish to protect yourself from the fire of hell, if you want your dua to be accepted in the court of Allah, then eat that which is halal. And when you eat that which is halal, then that will flow into your body. And when that flows into your body will become made of halal. And when the body is made of halal, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala listens to the prayers of that person. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts his dua. And today, many people, one of the main complaints that many ulama ikram have today is that I pray to Allah, but Allah doesn't accept my prayer. You pray for me. I pray to Allah, but Allah doesn't accept my prayer, ma'adallah. The reason why is because you are consuming haram. And when you consume haram, then that causes the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the anger of Allah causes the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is our duty as Muslims to protect ourselves from the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you eat halal, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept your prayers. And that is the reason why we should only try and eat halal. Today, if you look around us, If you look into the markets, there are many, many products which have ingredients on them. They have all these numbers. They have all these small amounts of ingredients. And many a times they are extracts of animals. They are extracts of the swine, the pig, which is haram in Islam. But yet the Muslims do not know, and they consume it. It is the duty of every Muslim to see what he eats before he takes it. And thus the Muslims should consider buying something. They should consider whether it is halal or it is haram. And it is from amongst the rights of the children, and it is from amongst the rights of the wife, that the husband brings home only halal food. Nothing but halal. And today, we need to contemplate on this. And one of the issues that we face today is halal meat. Meat that is halal. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam and the Quran, first the Quran and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam have regarded meat as haram. Meat is haram. The essence of meat, the original hukum of meat, is that it is always haram unless it is being slaughtered by a Muslim. If it has been slaughtered by a Muslim, then it is halal. Only then does meat become halal. Otherwise, it is always haram. Whereas vegetables, that which grows from the earth, that is always halal until it has been proven haram. And that is why the ulama-i-kiram say that if you have vegetables from a non-Muslim, as long as it apparently looks halal and you cannot see any impurity in it, then that is halal for you to eat. Because the essence of vegetation is that it is always halal unless proven haram. So if you have some vegetables at a non-Muslim's house and you can see no impurity in it, you can see there is nothing haram in it, then you can eat that. But meat, the essence of meat is haram, and thus meat, before you buy it, you should know whether this has been slaughtered by a Muslim or not. And if a Muslim says to you that this is halal and this has been slaughtered by a Muslim, then that is enough. That is enough for you to accept that as halal. But if you know that the meat in this place comes from such and such a place, and in that such and such a place, not all the slaughterers are Muslim, then you must stay away from that meat. Why? Because this is going to go into your body. And this meat is going to become blood in your body, and that will spread into your whole body. And that will stop you from praying salah. That will stop you from acting upon the command of Allah. When a person eats haram, and that becomes blood and it flows all throughout the body, then the ulama-i-kiram say that his body begins to desire haram. He begins to want and desire haram, and he begins to feel lazy from halal. When you tell him to come and perform salah, he says, "I feel lazy. I will have to perform wudu. I will have to go to the masjid. I can't do this. I am too tired." Why? Because he is eating haram and his body is full of haram. And that is why a person becomes lazy from the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why before you eat meat or you eat anything, you should make sure that this is halal. Sheikh Imam Azam Abu Hanifa radiallahu ta'ala an, the great faqih, once he heard that a goat, an animal, a goat, had eaten the grass of somebody other than his owner, other than its owner's grass. Meaning a goat was in its owner's land and it was eating grass. It went into the field of another person and it ate some grass from there. And the news went around people. And there was another narration says that somebody stole a goat. And there are different narrations. But when Imam Azam Abu Hanifa radiallahu ta'ala heard of this, he inquired, how long does a goat live for? And when he found out that this is how long a goat lives for, this many years, he didn't eat the meat of a goat for that many years. Because he doubted that if the meat of a goat comes to me, what if it is that goat which ate haram? What if it is that goat which was stolen? And that is why he didn't eat meat for that long of a goat. That is the taqwa of the ulama-i kiram. Because they did their utmost to stay away from haram. Subhanallah. If you look at the ulama-i kiram, subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam into this world so that he warns us that this is haram and this is halal. You must stay away from the haram and you must only take that which is halal. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, مَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ. That the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, whatever he gives to you, take it. And whatever he prohibits you from, stay away from it. Subhanallah, what does that mean? That means that now you don't only look into the Quran, even if it says that it is haram in the hadith, then that is haram for you. Subhanallah. Now look at the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. What did he say is haram? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said that Allah has sent me into this world to eradicate the sound of musical instruments. Music. Subhanallah. The Prophet Muhammad, and this hadith is in Bukhari Sharif, Muslim Sharif, Tirmidhi Sharif, Ibn Majah, Nasa'i. It is in several books of hadith. And by the hadith masters, they say that this is a rigorously authentic hadith. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam in this hadith, he says that near the end of time, near Qiyamah, people will make three things halal which are made haram by Allah. People will make three things halal which were haram by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What are they? He says that people near the end of time, they will make alcohol halal. Alcohol is haram. Khamr is haram. They will make khamr halal. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam says, and the people will make zina halal. Al-ayadu billah. Zina and khamr. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam says that people will make musical instruments halal. Allahu Akbar. Musical instruments. They are haram in Islam. And one of the hadith says that on the day of judgment, those people who listen to music, hot burning lead will be poured into their ears. That is the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thus we should stay away from that and go towards halal. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he forbade us from riba, which is interest, sood, usury. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said that riba has 70 different stages. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam says that the lowest stage of riba is that a man does nikah, has sex, does wati with his own mother. Al-ayadu billah. Allahu Akbar. A person doing zina with his own mother, that is how bad riba is according to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said that it is haram to tarku salah, meaning leave salah, not performing your salah is haram. Up to the extent that the Sahaba-i Kiram only used to accept that person as a Muslim who performed his salah. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ تَرَكَ الصَّلَاةَ مُتَعَمِّدًا فَقَدْ كَفَرْ. He who leaves his salah, he who misses his salah on purpose, if a person misses his salah, فَقَدْ كَفَرْ, he has become a kafir. Allahu Akbar. and Sheikh Abdul Qadir Al Jilani radiallahu ta'ala an, followed Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. And according to Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, that person who misses his salah on purpose, he becomes a non-Muslim. According to Imam Abu Hanifa and Imam Ash-Shafi'i radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, it means that he has been unthankful to Allah. Kufranun ni'mah. He has been unthankful to Allah. But Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal says that no, he becomes a kafir. And Imam Al-Shaykh Abdul Qadir Al-Jilani radiallahu ta'ala an, he was a follower of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. And thus according to Al-Ghawthul Azam, Al-Shaykh Abdul Qadir Al-Jilani, that person who misses his salah has become a kafir. Allahu Akbar. And we pray to Huzur Ghawthul Azam. We say, Shay'an lillah ya Shaykh Abdul Qadir. We say, Ya Shaykh Abdul Qadir Al-Jilani, adrikna, come to our help. This is the belief of the Ahlul Sunnah. But if you miss your salah, if you miss your salah, then how can you expect Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani to help you? Thus, O Muslims, it is our utmost duty to perform every 5 times salah. For that person who does not perform his 5 times salah, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam says that he has helped to destroy Islam. How has he helped to destroy Islam? Because salah is imaduddin. Salah is a pillar of the deen. And the deen can stand if the pillars are standing. And if you have destroyed salah, if you have missed your salah, your 5 times daily salah, then you have destroyed that pillar. And that person who destroys a pillar, he has helped to destroy Islam. Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the ability to perform our 5 times salah. And what else? Look around yourselves. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he forbade men from wearing gold. It is haram for males to wear gold. It is haram. Yet we see Muslim males who wear gold. They wear gold rings. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said that a gold ring, if a person wears a gold ring, then on the Day of Judgment and in Qiyamah, he will be made to wear a ring made of fire. And in the fire of hell, he will be made to wear a ring made of fire, which means that he will be put into the fire of hell. Allahu Akbar. O Muslims, stay away from haram. Learn the knowledge of what is haram and what is halal, and then stay away from halal. Stay away from haram, and only do that which is halal. And wallahi, if you have lived your life in haram, if you have been brought up doing haram, then don't worry. Don't worry, for Allah is the most merciful. Allah is the one who forgives. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam is a rahmatul lil alameen. He is a mercy for all of the worlds. Thus don't worry, come to the court of Allah. Come, and Allah will forgive you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive you. Don't think that I have been committing haram all my life, how will I be forgiven now? No, don't think that. Allah is the most merciful. Allah says that all those who have committed sin, come to me. Come to me. Ujibu da'watid da'an. I answer the call of that person who calls me. I accept the repentance of that person who asks for repentance. Thus, O Muslims, if you have committed haram, then ask Allah for tawbah. Come to the court of Allah and say, Ya Allah, I have committed sin. Please forgive me, Ya Allah. And Allah will forgive you. Subhanallah. Allah will forgive you. Allah says in the Quran that all those who believe, come to the court of Allah and do tawbah. And tawbah nasuha. Tawbah nasuha. What does tawbah nasuha mean? When you want to repent in the court of Allah, there are 3 conditions. Imam Nawawi Ash-Shafi'i radiallahu ta'ala an, a great muhaddith, in his Riyadu Salihin, he mentions these 3 conditions and many of the ulama. He says that the first condition for tawbah, for repenting from your sins, is that you recognize your sin. You accept the fact that you have committed a sin. And number two, you are shameful of your sin. You are shameful of your sin. You don't show off amongst the people that, oh, I drink alcohol. I used to drink alcohol. Oh, I used to drink all night. That is showing off. That is having pride on your sin. You must not have pride on your sin. You must be shameful of your sin. And number three, you must promise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, Ya Allah, I will not sin again. These three conditions. You have to be sincere in your heart. Sincerely ask Allah for repentance. You must have these three conditions. Recognize your sin. Be shameful of your sin. And then promise Allah that, Ya Allah, I will never commit this sin again. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He will forgive you. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam says that if a person asks for tawbah in the court of Allah from all the haram that he has done, and then Allah forgives him, and then he goes and does that haram again, and then he comes in the court of Allah and he says, Ya Allah, I committed this sin, forgive me, I will never do it again. Allah forgives him, and then he goes and does that again, and then he comes back to Allah and he says, Ya Allah, I have committed the same sin again. Ya Allah, I promise that I will never do it again. Oh Allah, please forgive me. Allah will still forgive him. Subhanallah. Up to the extent that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if my servant stops sinning, if my servant stop committing haram, then I will give birth to servants that commit haram and then come to me and ask for forgiveness. Subhanallah. Allah loves those people who come and ask for forgiveness. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam says, At-ta'ibu min al-dhambi kaman la dhamma lah. That person who committed sin after sin after sin, when he comes into the court of Allah and he asks for forgiveness and Allah forgives him, it is as though he never sinned before. Subhanallah. Allah wipes away them sins. And in another hadith, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam says that when a servant asks for forgiveness sincerely from his heart, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives him, and Allah commands the farishte, the angels, the malaika. He says to the malaika that wherever you have written the bad deeds and written that he has committed this, rub it off, clear it off, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wipes it off from his bad deeds. Up to the extent that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if a person has asked Allah for forgiveness and Allah has forgiven him, another person then reminds him of that sin and says, you used to do haram like this, you used to do this. When he is performing salah 5 times a day, and somebody says that, look at him, he prays 5 times a day, and the person says that, him, he used to drink alcohol in the past. I remember when he used to be young, he used to drink alcohol all night. He has asked Allah for forgiveness. Allah has forgiven him. If somebody reminds him of that sin, or if somebody labels him with that sin that Allah has forgiven, then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that that person will not die until he himself becomes involved in that sin. Allahu Akbar. Therefore, O Muslims, when somebody has done tawbah in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then accept his tawbah, because Allah is the one who accepts his tawbah. And today what happens? Allah is the forgiver, Allah forgives, but the people don't forgive. This is wrong. When somebody asks for forgiveness in the court of Allah, Allah accepts his forgiveness. And therefore, O Muslims, you must also forgive him. And if the haram that he committed is from amongst the huququl ibad, from the rights of the people, if he has done wrong to somebody else, then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that Allah will not forgive him until he asks for forgiveness from that person. And therefore he has to first ask for forgiveness from that person. He has to say, oh such and such, I stole something from you. This is the thing I stole. Have it back. Or this is the money for it because I have lost it. Please forgive me. Only then Allah will forgive him. If somebody has been backbiting about somebody, talking behind his back, then ask his forgiveness. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive you. Therefore, O Muslims, stay away from haram. Only go towards that which is halal. And if you have committed haram, then come into the court of Allah and ask for the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do istighfar. Astaghfirullah Rabbi min kulli dhanbi wa atubu ilayhi. O Allah, I seek forgiveness from all my sins and I repent in your court. This was the wazifa of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he was made free from sin. He was ma'soom. Allah had protected him from sin. He could not commit a sin. But yet he still used to pray this. Why did he pray this? So that the ummah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can learn that we should also do istighfar. We should do istighfar in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we should seek the repentance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. A person, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam says, that a person had committed 99 murders. A man had killed 99 people. Again, in Riyadu Salihin, this hadith is mentioned. In Muslim Sharif, a person committed 99 murders. After killing 99 people, he comes to an abid, a person who is not an alim. And he says that I have killed 99 people. And this is haram in Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Man qatala nafsan, he who kills one soul, one living being, it is as though he has killed the whole of Allah's creation. It is as though he has killed all of humanity. It is haram to kill. This person killed 99 people. And he comes and he says, I have killed 99 people. Will Allah forgive me? The servant of Allah says, that are you daft? Are you stupid? Why will Allah forgive you? You have committed 99 murders. It is impossible. Allah will not forgive you. This is what the servant of Allah says, the abid who was not an alim. The person kills him as well. He kills him. He kills him and makes it a century. He has now murdered 100 people. And then he comes to an alim edin. He comes to the alim edin and he says to the alim that I have killed 100 people. Will Allah forgive me? And the alim edin says that your sins are nothing compared to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your sins are nothing compared to the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, if you repent sincerely, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive you. And the hadith has more detail. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the ability to stay away from that which is haram and only go towards that which is halal. And if we have committed haram, may Allah give us the tawfiq, the ability to seek the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even if we don't commit a sin, may Allah still give us the tawfiq and the ability to recite istighfar and tawbah in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jazakallahu khairah wa ma alayna illa al-balagh. Assalamu alaikum.